Good morning. This year is dedicated today as a spouse for Refuah Shleimah for Sarah Leah Pfaff-Docher. With a name like that, you should certainly have a Refuah Shleimah. Three of the four Imamos, Sarah Leah Pfaff-Docher, the Imamos on Sinai, then you see Yoshev. Just one other thing. I, in Yetz Hashem, I'm going to be here next week. I'm going to be teaching next week. I don't know what's going to happen with that idea at this class. Now, I have to look at my calendar, but I think the week following, I'm also going to be away. So I'm not sure yet, but we may turn that into a major week of, what do you call it in college, a reading week. But anyway, next week, we have Hashem come in. All right. So here it is, we're beginning the fifth of the Chamisha from Shir Torah, Parshas Devarim. Parshas Devarim is always the Shabbos that precedes Tisha B'Av. Shabbos Devarim is not known as Shabbos Devarim, it is always known as Shabbos Chazon, because the Haftorah of Devarim is Chazon Yishayahu Ben Oz, the vision of Yishayahu, which talks, of course, about the sins of Yerushalayim. And but it ends up, of course, with the Pasuk Tzion, the Mishpati Padem Mishaldeho Etzinava. Tzion will be redeemed through justice. That's what we look forward to. Alright, the first problem that we encounter as we begin Parshas Devarim and Sefer Devarim. And the Mefarshim deal with this at great length. Things are out of order. Chronology of events is cast to the wind. The question is best expressed by the Abardanel, that's number two. In my Tarkabanach Moshe Rabbeinu lo chicham al avotein, if Moshe Rabbeinu's intent was that he was going to admonish and rebuke the Jewish people for the sins that they committed during 40 years of the Midbar, Yitzhako, big question. Lo lo hitchim maaseh ha'egel, the first of the great sins of the desert was the golden calf. We're not going to get to the golden calf until Parshat Egev. Devarim, Veschamon, Egev. All sorts of other misdeeds, misconduct of the Jewish people will be mentioned in Veschamon and mainly in Egev. And do you know what it is that takes up a significant part of Parshas Devarim? The last sin, which was Chetra. So at the moment, the Abarinel doesn't understand what's happening over here. Lolo Hitchim Miasa Egel, why doesn't he begin with the golden calf, Shehi HaChetra Rishon, was the first sin. V'chinoga Ad HaNefesh, that was a sin that afflicted the very soul of the Jewish people. They love us, Shoshachu, don't tell me that he forgot about the Chetah Edom. Ki he made the Parshat Egev later on in Tamidbar, in Dvarim. In Parshat Egev, Heviyo Be'erev Be'sipuro, and he describes the sin of the golden calf at length. So he asks again, Lama Heviyo Shoshachu, Chetah Meraklam, why does he bring the Chetah Meraklam verse, which was last in time? And at the end, he brings the Chetah Egel, which was the first sin. And then he goes on to list other sins that took place before the sin of the Egel, and they're going to be listed much later. In sum, the question that the Abravanel is asking, certainly the parshios of Dvarim, Egev, and Vayet Chanan do not follow in chronological order. And there has to be be a good reason for that. I'm not going to go into his answer. I'm just going to build up to my own answer today. My own answer. That's one problem. In general, is there any order or structure to all of Sefer Devarim? Or is it sort of haphazard? Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking, and he talks about this, and he talks about that. Is there any kind of internal structure to Sefer Devarim? Certainly, for those of us, we live in modern times, it's extremely important that we should be able to answer these two questions. The question of why Chetra Eidel comes first, and why is there any kind of structure in Sefer Devarim, or is it, God forbid, haphazard? Because that, of course, would give an opening to those who feel that Sefer Devarim is anyway a patchwork of all sorts of different sources that were put together, and they don't reflect really the word of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have to make sure that we deal with that and deal with it properly. So, in terms of the general structure of Sefer Devarim, I want you to look at number 3, the Ksav HaKavalah. Ela HaDvarim. Da, you should know, Ki Chameshes HaPsukim HaRishonim Hem HaKdamah Shel Kol HaSefer. If you thought that there was anything haphazard about Sefer Devarim, then you should know that the first 5 Psukim are the introduction to the Sefer. And in that introduction to the Sefer, we are going to be told how the body of the Sefer was written, what order it followed, what are the sections and the divisions and the parts, and how each one follows the other. And he said, it's very beautiful what he says. You'll see. Ela Dvarim Da'ayu Shinoki Chameshet Psuk V'Rishon, the first 5 Psuk in Heim HaGdona Shal Torah Sefer, they are the introduction to the whole Sefer. V'yesh behem shlosha pa'amim, 3 times, it says, l'shon diburo shel Moshe. In these 5 psukim, 3 times we hear about Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. First is Hashem diber Moshe, the second is diber Moshe b'nei Yisrael, and then ho'il Moshe be'er. Let's read those psukim. Eilah ha'tvar Moshe diber Moshe l'chol Yisrael, these are the words that Moshe spoke to all of Israel. First time that we talk about Moshe speaking, Diber Moshe. Where did he say it, these words to them? On the other side of the Jordan, in the desert, Ba'achava, in the plain, Mol Suf, Ben Parom, Ben Tofel, the Lavan, the Chatzedos, the Dizahav. The names of all of those places are not something we can go into now. Rashi does a very beautiful job on it. But this is, as Jews are encamped, on the other side, the west, the east bank of the Jordan, and they are poised, ready to go into Eretz Israel. Acharas Yomi Chodesh, it was 11 days from Chodesh, Derech Har Seir HaKodesh Barnea. From Chodesh Sinai to Kodesh Barnea, which is the beginning of the land of Edom, was a total of 11 days' journey. And it took them 40 years to make that journey. I think that passage is very important as well. If he is beginning to admonish the people, he is telling them, take a look at this, a journey that could have and should have taken no more than 11 days, has taken us 40 years. Yeah. Came to pass in the 40th year, Vashtei also Chodesh, in the 11th month, in the month of Shvat, Be'er HaKodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat that Moshe begins to speak to the Jewish people. Diber Moshe El Bnei Yisrael. Moshe spoke to the children of Israel. Zum zweiten Mal. For the second time it says Diber Moshe. Kecho Asher Tzivor Hashem El Torahim. Everything that God commanded him to say to them. And when does he speak to them? At this moment in time, what has happened historically? Acharei HaKoto Et Sichon Melech Amori. After he struck down Sichon, the king of the Amori, Asher Yoshev B'Cheshbon, who lives in Cheshbon, that O Melech HaBashan, O king of the Bashan, Asher Yoshev B'Ashtarot Be'edrei, Sichon was the southern part of the east bank, and Og was, of course, the Golan HaBashan and the northern part of the east bank. And Rashi explains, Moshe Rabbeinu has a lot of credit built up with the Jewish people. He has just taken them through two unbelievably successful military campaigns. They have vanquished two superpowers of the day. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu gets up to speak, he has a tremendous amount of credit by the Jewish people. They're ready to listen to him. Be'er Hagarim, Be'eretz Moab, on the other side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Ho'il Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Hazot Le'mor. On the other side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began explaining this Torah. Ho'il Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah is the third time in these five psukim in which it expresses that Moshe is speaking to the Jewish people. So now we go back to the Ksava Kabbalah, who says that the first five psukim of Sefer Devarim are the introduction to Sefer Devarim. And what is it that they have to say to us about all of Sefer Devarim? The fact that it mentions Moshe Rabbeinu speaking not once, not twice, but three times. Ki yesh ba-sefer zeh gimel chalakim. All Sefer Bamidbar is divided into three parts. Chelek ha-alef. The first section of the Sefer is bitilat ha-sefer, from the beginning of the Sefer, ad vayikra shekodem aseres adivros. In Parashat Bechan, the next week's Sedra, we're going to have the Ten Commandments in Bez Chamon. That parasha begins with the word Vayikra, and Moshe called to them. That's important. That's the whole first section is, section one, is Parshas Devarim, and about half or three quarters of Parshas Bez Chamon until the Aseret HaDibros. And in all, this whole first section, he admonishes, he rebukes, he gives Musa to the Jewish people. Chelek Abed, the second section of Sefer Devarim, begins with the Ten Commandments. And you know what the Ten Commandments introduce? That section of Sefer Devarim in which Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching the Torah again. Chelek Abed min ha-fayikro ad ha-brachos va-aklos she-dekhi tovo. Until all the way till Ki Tavo, before the Tokach over there, and in all of those parashios from Efer, Veschanam, Egev, Ve'ei, Shoftin, Ki Teitzei, and part of Ki Tavo, it talks about the mitzvahs. Lachenu Hashem Tchila, that's why when it begins, it says, Eila Ha'edus Ha'chukim, these are the testimonies and the statutes that God is talking. Shehu Inyan Echad, in Mashekos of Achrov, Vayikra Moshe, and that's all part of the parasha where it says Vayikra Moshe Kol. And that's important. The word Vayikra is very important. Chelek HaGimel, the third part is from the Tochacho in Parashat Ki Tavo until the end of Sefer Devarim. And you know what? At Sofer Torah, from the brachos and klalos, the blessings and the curses until the end of Torah, and there it says, before the brachot, it says, Ba'er Heitev. The same term that it says here at the beginning of the Sefer, it says there, Ba'er Heitev, he's explained clearly. And then it says, Vayitaveh Moshe. V'hidvonim. Here comes the real beauty of all of this. Aside from the fact that we have now said that there is order, there are three distinct parts to Sefer Devarim. The first part is words of Musar, of admonishing, of rebuke, of teaching ethical ideas. The second half, the mitzvahs. Third is brachos and klolos unto the end of Torah. So he says, "Hidbonen, think about it. Ki hatcholas shlosha chelkei sefer zeh." The three parts of this, the beginning of the three parts of this sefer. The first part begins with Eila Advarim, first pasuk, right? The second begins with Vayikra Moshe, and Moshe called. The third is going to begin with the words Ba'er Heitein Vayadaber Moshe. So he says, Hidbonen Ki Acharas Moshe Chelkei Sefer Zeh. The beginning of the third of the three parts of this sefer are precisely the same as the beginning of the three sforim that precede Shmos, Vayikra, Vayikra. Eile is the beginning of Shmos. Eile Shmos B'nai Yisro. These are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Vayikra begins, Vayikra Shem El Moshe. God called to Moshe. How does Bamidbar begin? By the Daber Hashem, El Moshe, go down, tell him that they should count the Jewish people. So he says, by using the same words to begin the three parts of the Sefer Devarim, that clearly delineates and divides them one from another. There's structure to the Sefer. It's not haphazard. But we still have a question that we're going to have to answer. Why does Parshas Devarim deal with the sin of the Meraglim when it should have begun with the sin of the Eagle? Let's finish with Tzavar Kabbalah. The Zeroshnop of the Medrash, and that's what the Medrash means when the Medrash says, Vayikra hu mole halachos. Listen to what the Medrash says. Vayikra is full of laws. Ukinegdo Devarim nani? Mole halachos, and corresponding to Vayikra, Devarim also is full of halachos. But it's not full of halachos. So the Ksava Kabbalah is saying that section of Sefer Devarim that begins with the word Vayikra, just as Vayikra begins, which is the second part of Sefer Devarim, that is full of halachos. Kloma. That section of Sefer Devarim that corresponds to Sefer Vayikra. Is Mali Halachos, it's full of halachos. By the way, this is the Gaon Mevilna. This is the Gaon Mevilna. So now the Ksav HaKabbalah is writing about this. This is really an amazing comment, and it's very correct. You know, the Vilna Gaon says something brilliant, and you know, we need to say, yep, Vilna Gaon, you are absolutely right. And it was for naught that the Mefarshim all tried to understand the connection between these first five psukim and what their connection is to the second, the rest of the Sefer. Umehem Yakaro, so many Kohen Yoshiyud, so Sefer HaKodem. There are even those who say that these first five psukim are really the end of Sefer Bamidbar, they uproot them from the place. Well, Emes Yoreh Darko, the truth tells us, She'enu Rak Hagdolos Shloshes Chelkei Sefer Hazeh. These first five psukim of the introduction to the three separate and distinct parts of Sefer Devarim that begin with the words Eile, Vayikra, Vayidaber, which are the beginnings of Sefer Shmos, Vayikra, and Vayidaber. Yes.
Now, I was just, if I'm not mistaken, Rashi says on the expression that Ezra have, that it doesn't to the Nazi.
Yes, he definitely does. He definitely does.
Each one of the places,
Rashi says that each one of the places that's mentioned in the first pasuk deals about another sin that was committed in a different place. But that's not going to help us in terms of the real text. The text of this Sedra, the first head of the Sedra, is the Chet of the Merari. And that's what the Meforshim are concerned about. The remosim that are given by Rashi will not answer that question. But wait. Give me an opportunity to say something over here. Alright, now that we have one thing taken care of, there is order, there is structure to save the Nevada. And what we have to answer is, if there's order and there is structure, why doesn't it follow in chronological order? Now, let's turn over. I know I'm reading your hand. We don't know what it means putting together these source sheets. Not everything fits where I want it to fit. Understand? So therefore, I have to put Rishon, Achron, and Achron, Rishon. It's out of chronological order what there's order to also. Number five. And I'm learning number five only because I want to get to one pasuk, and that one pasuk is the one that I want to focus on. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them the story of what took place in the desert. For Omar Aleichem, and I said to you, Vatan at Har HaAmoni, we have come to the mountain of the Amori, Asher Hashem Elokim Noteinon, that God our God gives us. The aid. Natan Hashem Elokecho Lefanecho Et Haaretz. See. God has given before you the land. Alei Resh. Go up and possess. Go up and possess. Now what's interesting, and don't think I forget. This is one of the psukim, and there'll be another one right away, from which the Ramban that we started learning last week proves that there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. This is one of the psukim. And we will get to that Ramban yet. Alei Resh, go up and inherit. Kashet Yiber Hashem, as God has spoken. Alokei Alasech Olof, the God before us to you. Al Tei Rovi, Al Tei Chas, do not fear. And do not be broken by them. Batikri Hu Neilai Kulchem, and all of you drew close to me. Batomu, you said, Nish Lecha Hashem Lefanenu, let us send people before us. And let them spy out the land. Now you see, there are different words used there. This is the second story of the Meraglim. In the first story of the Meraglim, it begins with God telling Moshe, Shlach lecha anashim, send people. Over here it seems that the story is taking a different twist. That the initiative came not from God, the initiative came from the Jewish people. And there's reason why in each place it's written the way it is. The fact is that the initiative came from the people. But in order that we should be able to judge the people objectively, the Torah there writes that God acquiesced. The Shlach Lecha Anashim, send people to spy out the land, doesn't mean that God initiated it, but that God gave his approval. And we don't have to know what happened before. There will be time yet. Moshe Rabbeinu knows that the whole story, you know, you don't always get the whole story in one time. Sometimes you have to wait until the time is right for all the information to be said. So you all came over and you said, let's send people before us. The Yachbidul on the Torahs, there in Parshat Shlach, it was described as tourists. The Oturul on the Torahs. Over here, the Yachbidul. The Yachbidul really, this really means to spy out, to dig for information. Lachpor, to dig for information. The Oshivu Otaru Dovar, and bring us back word. At Haderach Hashem Nalabo, the road that we shall go up to her. That to order Hashem, Mavo Aleim, and the cities that we should come to. Yitam be'enai hadovon. It was good in my eyes. Well, kach mikem shnei mos ha'chavim v'chukhtu'el men, ish echad ha'shavet, one man from each tribe. V'yifnu, and they turned. Moshe Rabbeinu is done with, v'yifnu, v'yalu ha'or, and they went up to the mountain, v'yavo, and nachal eshkol, they came to the wadi or the river of eshkol, v'yiragvu ota, and they spied out. And of course, the word v'yiragvu means that, you know, they walked. They walked. The best way to learn the city is just walk through the city. V'yiragvu ota. Now, the pasuk that we have to deal with is Vayikru b'yadam mipri ha'aretz, and they took in their hands the fruit of the land, Vayoridu eleinu, they took in their hands the fruit of the land and brought it down to us, Vayoshivu otanu tavara, and they brought back word, Vayamru, they said, Tova ha'aretz, Asher Hashem Elokeinu noten lanu, good is the land that God, our God, gave to us. What a pasuk. Let's begin with the simplest problem that this pasuk presents us with. Was that the report of the miracle? Did the miracle come back and say, Tov ha'aretz, good is the land that God our God gives us? No. And the next passage says, V'lo avitem lamod. You didn't want to go up. You didn't wish to ascend. Batanu l'pi Hashem l'kechem, you rebelled against the word of Hashem your God. That's going on over there. I mean, it's very clear from the passage. V'yikru b'yodam y'pri ha'aretz. It was seen very clear at first glance that this is the report of 12 Meraglim. Tov ha'aretz asher Hashem l'kechem l'kechem. Tov ha'aretz. Rashi obviously is troubled by that immediately. Tov ha'aretz asher Hashem l'kechem l'kechem. But that wasn't true. It's simply, if we read the passage as it would seem at first glance, it's just not true. So of course what sends me, of course, is the Rashi. Rashi number 6:25, Vayoridu eleinu, and brought it down to us. Magid, this comes to tell me, Sheretz Yisrael Gavoa, Mikol Ha'aretzot. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands. This is not the first shiur I've given on the idea of Eretz Yisrael Gavoa, Mikol Ha'aretzot. Because Rashi mentions it a number of times in Torah, and we're going to deal with this one mainly, and then a number of others. What's Rashi telling me? First of all, why does Rashi have to tell me this? Rashi has already told us that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands. He told it to us in Parsha Vayigash. And if you want to, you can take a look at number 8. If you don't believe me, it's right there at number 8 at the bottom of the page. That's Yosef speaking to his brothers when he reveals himself to them. That great, most probably most dramatic moment in all of Tanakh, maybe in all of literature. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers and he says, Ba'ako, Lo'atam shalachta oti heina, you're not the one who sent me here. Ki ha'elokim, God sent me here. Vayisimeni lo'av le'paro, and he's made me a father to Paro. Odon l'chol beito, a master of his whole house. U'moshe, the one who rules, b'chol eretz b'tzchayim. That's why I become Par. I'm the great success story of the Middle East. Ma'anu v'alu alavim. Hurry and go up to my father and tell him my great success over here. Tell him to come down to me. Va'alu elavi, Rashi, right there. Eretz Yisrael gavoa, mikol ha'aretzot. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands. That's the first time Rashi says it in Torah. Our pasuk here is not the second time. The second time I've been right here. It's in Parashas Ki Tisa, Re, Moshe says to God, Hey, Atah, Omer, Eli, you tell me, how, Tetah, Maseh, bring this people up to the land? Eretz Yisrael, Gugoa, Mikol, Aratzot. Again, Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands. So that's one in Vayikash, one in Kitusa, a third one over here, Vayoridu Elenu. There's going to be a fourth one in Torah, and that's number 7 in Hazinu. It says, Yarkiveyu Albonatai Oretz. God is going to cause the Jewish people to ride over the heights of the land. He would have him ride on the heights of the earth, and he would eat the ripe fruits of the field. He would suckle him with honey from a stone and oil from the horns of a rat. Yarjivehu, Rashi says. You guessed already what Rashi says. Al Shem, Sheretz Yisrael, Gevoa, Mikol Aratzos, because her soil is higher than all the lands. Now we're going back to our analysis of our pasuk. The big question that we have on the pasuk is, it does not reflect. It does not reflect the truth. What do you mean doesn't seem to say the truth? The miracle came back and they say, Tova Haaretz, great land. So there's a second Rashi on that pasuk. By Yomru, and they said, Tova Haaretz. Rashi knows, of course, that there's a problem in the pasuk. And therefore, Rashi says on the second half of the pasuk, when the pasuk says by Yom, when they said Tova Haaretz, the land is good. Mi Hensha Amru Tova Ta. Who are the ones that said that the land is good? Yoshua, the Kohen. So Rashi is trying to take a pasuk and divide it in two. In other words, the first part of the pasuk obviously is talking about the Meravim. It's the second part of the pasuk that's talking about Yoshua and Kolei. The Vayomu, when they said, does not refer to the 10, it only refers to the 2, Yoshua and Kolei. And remember, don't lose sight of the fact that we do have the problem of why does Rashi have to tell us again, Eretz Yisrael, Gevoa, Mikol Aratzos, he's already told them to us once, twice, Hazinu, yeah? By the way, Rashi says it again in Yeshayahu, chapter 30. Hoi hayordim mitzchayma, woe to those who go down to Egypt and negotiate with Egypt and ask for help from Egypt. Mitzchayim odom v'lo eil. Mitzchayim is man, not God. Lola Aze and the Lola Hoel don't waste your time. They can't help you and they can't benefit you. And remember one thing, the words of the Nevi'im are eternal. Okay. All right. So why does Rashi have to tell me that Eretz Yisrael is Gevoa, Mikol Aratzot? So one of the ways to analyze this Rashi, so that happens to be a very beautiful Orach Chaim. The one that I didn't find place for, it's on the first slide. But his analysis of the Rashi is beautiful, and therefore he's going to give us more insights into this pasuk. By Yikru B'yodam, Sodach Vadach. In this pasuk, we have to know the following. Loma, Hushach Loma, by Yikru B'yodam. Alright? It's a very good question. And they took in their hands. Where did they took? They took in their feet. How did they talk to them? What did they talk about? Most people, I say all people, when they take the yodam. What would have been wrong if the pasuk would have said, Vayikru mipri haaretz? Vayikru mipri haaretz? I don't need the word yodam. So, haaretz sorach lomer, and Vayikru yodam, so haaretz sorach lomer, elam. Vayoridu elenu mipri haaretz. All they had to say was that they brought down to us from the fruit of the land. The truth is, you didn't need the Vayikru b'yodam. Both words you didn't need. They took in their hands. You could simply have said, and they brought down to us from the fruit of the land. Days. Lama amar vayoshivu otamu dovar vayomru. second half of the pasuk says, they brought us back word and they said, you didn't have to say so many words. You could have simply said, Vayoshivu otanu, Vayoshivu otanu, Tova Haaretz. What did you have to have? Vayoshivu otanu, Davar Vayoru. Now, the pasuk, we could have eliminated 3-4 words from the pasuk. When Yor HaChaim would have read it, he would have said, Vayikru mipri ha'oretz, Vayoritu eleinu, Vayomru tova ha'oretz. You didn't need the Vayadam. You didn't need Vayoshivu otanu tova. So therefore, going back to Yor HaChaim, he says, Ochi HaKavona, the intent of it is the following. The fish of Yom HaMirach means Shtei HaDrakot. There were two proofs. Achas Roa, he chuvas asor l'rachim. One group was bad, did attend. The achas tovu, one is good, and that's the answer of Yeshua and Kalev. Uvidvorav kam, in this one pasuk, what has been meshed together, weaved together in one pasuk, are the two responses. Kenegad Mashiach Yeshiva Asura and Moshe Mordechayim, corresponding to what the 10 evil people said, Oma Vayikru Biyodom Vayoshivu Tamadava Peish. Lo Rotso Moshe Olam Hashon, Moshe did not want to repeat the evil words of the Baraka. That we meet yet in the 9 days. And the 9 days where we are supposed to be working on correcting the sin of the Meraglim. And we have a great deal of correction to do. A great deal of correction. When you have a significant part of our leadership that looks at Eretz Yisrael as real estate, you can give Azat to those killers. You can give Yudhaka Shomron to the other killers. We have a burden, the Golan given to Yenel Hoshim, which is unbelievable, it's unbelievable. Divesting ourselves of parts of Eretz Yisrael to people who we know beyond any shadow of doubt are sworn enemies and will only use those areas as bases against us. Wouldn't we have to be Mesaki the Chet HaMachat? Unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even want to utter the ugly words of the Baraka again. So therefore he hides them within the pasuk. How does he do that? So he says, Lo Rotso Moshe, Oh Hashem, Marza Hatvor Haroim, Shelo Lo'ore Adin, Al Shekram Esu. Say, they are already in the Baraka, Zamina Fon Olam, He doesn't want to arouse punishment and justice against them. But therefore he simply said, Hey, Shivu Dava, they responded. They brought back how are you supposed to know that that's talking about the 10? Simple. Because it says, Vayikru Biyodom. That's why the Pasuk said the Vayikru Biyodom that was otherwise unnecessary. Because the Kabbalah says, who are the ones that brought the fruit in their hands? Who brought it? Yahushua and Kalev didn't bring anything back. The 10, and he brings the Gemara and Sotah, and to arouse you to the fact, Shalasor HaMerakim, what you're saying about the 10 Merakim, it says, Vayikru Biyodom, Perish, Al Derech Omron Zalas, the Gemara says in Sotah, 8 Merakim brought the symbol of the Misrach HaTayarot, Eight Meraglim brought those grapes, you know. Yeah. We needed 8. The Gemara describes how the 8 walked with it. And then, Echad Nachal Teina, one brought the figs. Echad Nachal Rimon, and one brought a pomegranate. Abu Yoshua and Kalev were not in Klom. Yoshua and Kalev didn't take a thing. Klom with the name, as the Gemara says. So the moment that the pasuk begins by saying, Vayikru Biyodom, you know exactly who you're talking about. There can be no doubt whatsoever. That's why it says in Sukkadehen Loma, Shehem Asfar of those other ten, Shalom Kuyadam in Pinarets and Sukkadehen, the fruit of the land. By Yeshivu Otanu Dabar, Masha Hishiyah. And they brought us back word. But the Pasuk didn't say what they said. You know? They, the ones who brought back the fruit, Hishivu, they responded as they responded. And here he says something so fascinating. So fascinating. Back in Parshat Shlach, when the Meraglim came back, it says, Vayoshifu otal dovot, the same words as in this pasuk. The same words. So he says, you know what? I'm going to learn Xeva Shavi. You know what Xeva Shavi is? Xeva Shavi is one of the 13 hermeneutic principles by which we learn laws of Torah. You have a word here and a word there, similar words. What's true here is true there. Of course, the Gemara says, you know, that a Xeva Shavi, you can't make them up yourself. It has to be something that was said at Sinai. Because if you're going to be able to learn a Xeva Shavi on your own, you can make a churban. I once said, you know, it says the word S by Pesach, and it says the word S by Yom Kippur, just like you're supposed to S on Pesach, you should S on Yom Kippur. You know, we didn't have to say it. But Chorv gemacht, you destroyed Torah. So Xer Shoda can only learn when it comes from Sinai. But the Archaim is telling us, and you have to see how he says it, that when it's a matter of understanding the meaning of a pasuk, not halacha, to reveal the meaning of a pasuk, you can learn Xer Shoda. Because there a person can learn it on his own. And by the way, it's very true, we do it all the time. If a certain phrase is used in one place, and the same phrase is used elsewhere, that means there's a relation between them. But watch this. So it says, Gamesh Shavadam Zereshavah, you can learn it, Zereshavah. Dabar, you dabar. Ha'amah, the word dabar, from the word dabar, that it says in Pasha Shvatik Sin, Vayashivu Atam Dabar, they brought back word. Vahakam Shehen Olam Dom Zereshavah, Elam Kain, Kiplom in Apo. Even though a person cannot learn Zereshavah on his own, unless it receives the Rebbe, the Kiyotzama says something like this, Legalot Shateach Tuvin, to reveal the simple meaning of the Sukkim, Hodi'um Rabotayim Zal, our rabbis have told us, Sheyechol Legalot Zereshavah Tazot. You can use Zereshavah in order to reveal the meaning of a pasuk when it does not have anything to do with halacha. V'zeh, now watch what he said. V'zeh poshet la'olchim ba'or ha'chayim. That's simple to understand by those who go in the light of the living. He introduced the name of his sefer in here. V'zeh poshet la'olchim ba'or ha'chayim. If you can go in the way of the or ha'chayim, Habibi, you'll know that this is correct. So therefore, Vayikru b'yodam mipri ha'ores. Vayoshivu otam davar, without saying a word of what they said. You don't have to say a word. And you know already that it's the ten. Because it said Vayikru b'yodam. They took it in their hands. They're the only ones who brought anything back. And it says Vayoshivu otam davar. And it says Vayoshivu otam davar in... So it's clear that the first half of the pasuk is the Meraglim, the bad guys. And therefore, Ukinege Yoshua the Kalev, Omar Vayomu, the end of the pasuk where it says clearly, and they said, Tova Horitz, the land is good, that's Yoshua the Kalev. Ukifizelish Tan Nochon, La Kethel. That's why what's repeated seemingly unnecessary in the pasuk, because remember the pasuk said, Vayiku Biyodom, Vipri Horitz, Vayoshivu otanu davar. They brought back a report, Vayomru. What did you need, Vayoshivu otanu davar and Vayomru? You could simply have Vayomru. Tova hearts, they said the land is good. Why do we have this unnecessary word? because the two parts, Vayashivot on Davar with a 10, Vayomru, were Yahushua and Kaleb. Gam Yashay, did they Moshe Shomat Boros Tumim? We also have answered with this why Moshe concealed what he was saying. Vayomru Tovart, Shemashmos, Akurim Yakit Al Kulam. When you read the passage, you can see that all 12 of them said Tovaharet. But the way we've explained it now, we have clearly differentiated between the two sides. And I'm going to take you one step further. I think we may not have needed to walk in the steps of the Orach Chaim. I think Rashi took care of it himself.
In the first pasuk, he was very sure
of that. We're at a crucial moment right now. I have to build up the tension.
Yeah.
I can't. No, you'll have to wait. I have to. What does Rashi say on Vayoridu? Vayoridu in Ainu? Eretz Yisrael, the wrong, it's all that's up. That's what we said. Rashi's told us this often enough. By the way, if Rashi wanted to tell us this, in the few psukim that precede this pasuk, Aleichesh. What do you mean Aleichesh? Go up and inherit? Leichesh. Leichesh. Why Aleichesh? There is a song of our. We call Arazo. And what did he say before that? The pasuk before this one. Vayifnu vayalu hara. Why? Where are they going? Because Eretz is good. They're on the horizon. Oh, well, better. Earlier. It said, Nishtoch HaMashu L'Fanenu V'yachru L'Long L'Zahartz V'yashim L'Otan L'Rar Et HaDerech HaShem Na'aleva. Oh, I nearly skipped it. Et HaDerech HaShem Na'aleva. We've used the word Aliyah a number of times. Why didn't Rashi stop and tell us? Eretz is good. They're on the horizon. The Vayoridu Eleinu troubled the Eben Ezra as well. I wrote the Eben Ezra on the side. A very short Eben Ezra. Vayoridu Ba'avur Gova Ha'etz. Because the height of the tree. For Ha'etz, and the truth is, Ba'avur Ha'etam Ba'negev, because they were in the Negev. He's troubled by the word Vayoridu, because the simplest thing would have been to say, and here, gold is used in Yekazeda Shavu. I'm going to use Yekazeda Shavu. In the parasha of the Megadol, it says, Vayoridu, they brought the fruit to us. Vayoridu. And here it says Vayoridu. It says Vayoridu. So why does it say Vayoridu? So the other thing is two shot. One shot is they went up on a tree and it was a tall tree. Vayoridu Eleinu means they brought it back down from the tall tree. Then he says a second shot, and he says the second shot, that's the real shot. They were in the Negev. They were in the Negev. In order to come down to Midbar Sinai, going from north to south, you go down. And the Eben Ezra says, that's the real pshat. Why doesn't the Eben Ezra accept the pshat? Because the tree wasn't tall. And they brought it down from the tree. You know why? Because the Torah never tells us anything as unnecessary as that. Torah says, Vayashkim Avon Vavokeh. And Moshe, then Avon Gav in the morning. Does the Torah have to tell us that he washed Nebu Gonser? He said, Birchus HaShacha. It maybe tell us what he ate for breakfast before he left out, went out on his way to the Arkeo. The Torah doesn't tell us anything unnecessary. Over here, the Torah would be telling us, you know, they climbed a tree, and it was a tall tree. We don't care what the tree was. All that's necessary is that they brought the fruit to us to show us the fruit of the land. So therefore, on second thought, and it didn't take the evidence of more than two words to come to the second thought, that the truth is Bavur, he will come by Negev, because they were in the Negev, and they now have to come down to Midbar Sinai. You go down. You go down to Miami. You go down to Eilat, and you go up to Netuvah. Now, by the way, if that's the pshat, why doesn't Rashi accept on any one of these pshat? Because Rashi holds that if it's talking about them coming from the north, to the south, it should have said, Vayerdu Eilenu. That's simple Hebrew. A 5-year-old, a 3-year-old would know that. Vayerdu, they came down to us. If the word is talking about the Miraculim, or the other Shaman, the Ebenezer, that is talking about the tree we've rejected completely, because the Ebenezer rejected it too, and it's talking about the Miraculim, we should have said, and they came down to us, which would have been Hebrew, Vayerdu Eilenu. Rashi is brilliant. What was the problem with the whole pasuk? The problem with the whole pasuk, it doesn't tell us what the miraculum said. What the bad people said is not in the pasuk. Rashi, is he brilliant? Vayoridu Eilenu. You know what Vayoridu was talking about? Not about the miraculum. Not about the tree, not about north to south. It's talking about Eretz Yisrael. They brought the land down in our eyes. His spiel. That was their report. That's why Rashi here has to tell us Eretz Yisrael to all Mikol HaRatzos. Because Rashi is talking about the Kedusha, the sanctity, the holiness, the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. You know what it means according to Rashi's pshat? Rashi is the words, the report of the miraculum is right in the pasuk. They brought the land down. Hishpilu. What's a good word in English for hishpilu? They degraded. Brought it down. This is far, far different than all the other places that Rashi brought Eretz Yisrael before the Colorado. You know what Rashi has done in one brilliant stroke? We do have both reports in the pasuk. Vayikru b'yodom yipriv oretz, vayoridu eleinu. They brought the fruit, and their purpose was to bring the land down. Shame it! Embarrass it! That's what they did. Now you have a pasuk. I'm saying that Rashi is going beyond the Orach Chaim. And in other words, the Orach Chaim can be used as an addendum to Rashi. But Rashi knew what was wrong in the pasuk, that there was no report. And that's why the second Rashi says, you have to notice this. I didn't notice it till now either, you know. You people always inspire me. I see those eager faces and I'm inspired. What does Rashi say on the second? Vayomu tovo ha'aretz, mi'hei sha'amu tovo, so what are the ones that said that Yoshua called? You know what Rashi is implying? Rashi is implying that the miraculum, what they said was also in the pasuk. There were others who didn't say the tovo, and Rashi doesn't have to spell it out, because I said it already. Vayomu vidu eilenu. That's what they did. Yosef. Number 8. Yosef. Of course, Yosef is the one that in my investigation of the of Rashi saying Eretz Yisrael Devarim and Kol HaRatzos started at least 35 or 40 years ago, Pasha Vayigash. Oh, I remember how it started. That's the question you asked me? Bella? I can't see. Are you responding to me? Am I embarrassing you? I think we were on a flight to Pittsburgh, and somebody was learning Parashat HaShavuot, it was Parashat Vayigash. I was going to be in Sabbath Kedushin, wedding in Pittsburgh, the beginning of Parashat Vayigash. What's the whole beginning of Parashat Vayigash? Yehuda stands up there before this fellow Tzaf Aspalayim and says, we came down here in order to buy provisions. And then we went up to our father and we came down again. And you told us, bring down your little brother. And we went up and we brought him down. I'm not exaggerating. Everything that Yehuda is talking about over there is up, down, up, down. Rashi makes no comment that Eretz Yisrael Gemara, you call herself. By the way, and here was my wife's question, by the way, the question is even stronger. Where's the first time in Torah that it says the term Yedida with regard to leaving Eretz Yisrael and Aliyah with regard to arriving in Eretz Yisrael? In Parashat Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't say he came up. That doesn't say he came up. Lech Lecha in Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha in Eretz Yisrael, and he comes. There was a famine in the land. Vayeved Avraham Mitzrayim. Avraham went down to Mitzrayim. And when it's all over in the house of Paro, it says he went up. Rashi on Vayeved Avraham Mitzrayim should have immediately commented and said, Eretz Yisrael Gemara Kol Haaretz. And from that moment on and further, you'll know wherever the Torah you have, up, down, with regard to Eretz Yisrael, chances are it's because Eretz Yisrael Gemara Kol Haaretz. Why didn't Rashi do that? Why didn't Rashi do that? So I have a whole sheet, and there are many proofs for that, but I can go into it. I hope that Rashi will withhold comment when a comment is necessary. He will withhold and he will wait for the most poignant, powerful, and meaningful place at which to make the comment. The brothers are standing before Tzaf Matanach, who has revealed himself as Yosef. Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef. Who is this fellow, and how has he just described himself? Lo atem shalachtem oti hena ki elokim. God sent me here. I am a father to Paro, the master of his whole house, the ruler of all of Egypt. Do you know what we're talking about? The biggest Yomei success story in all history. Yosef is not driving a cab in Cairo. Yosef is the greatest success story of all. And what does it say in the next passage? Ma'aru ha'alu alavi, hurry and go up to my father. If he's in such a big hurry, you know what he should have said? Ma'aru alavi, hurry to my father. Who needed the word ya'alu? Hurry to my father. Why does it say ya'alu? Because it's in Yosef's neshama, he can't help it. For him, Eretz Yisrael is the law we call our ourselves. All the pomp and all the circumstances and all the power is garnished. He wants more than anything else to be Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Medrash says, Yosef was an O-Ape Eretz Yisrael. And that's why he says to his brothers, Papa, Yifkor, Hashem, Elohim, Ephraim, God will remember it. Remember you, Ma'alitim, at small time, he says, and you shall take my bones off from here. Now, don't make a mistake. There are many times where Aliyah is because of north and south and a number of other reasons. It has to be at a point where it can only be Eretz Yisrael, Gevurah, Mikol Haaretz. And that's what Rashi points out for us. Because it's true, going north and south can be done Aliyah. As we said, we go down to Eilat, we go up to Metula. But where the word wasn't necessary. In our pasuk, he had to learn pshat in vayoridu because it couldn't mean they came down. It would have said vayeridu. It could have said vayoviu, as it said in Parashat Shlach. Vayoritu, by the way, is always, make sure I get my grammar right, a transitive verb. It has to apply to something. They brought something down. What in the pasuk could they have brought down? We're not talking about the fruit. We took care of the fruit already. So therefore, Rashi tells us, and that's why Rashi says, Yosef is the greatest success story of all. And he says, by the way, you may not have noticed, but in the entire negotiations between the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh were not involved in those negotiations. And when it's all over, we find that most of the east bank of the Jordan was given to Reuben and Gad, and the Golan and the Bashan were given to half a tribe of Manasseh. Where did they come from? Where did they come from? Meshachach, the Beis Simcha says, what Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for was a tribe. A tribe that would be ready to split in half so that they would have constant movement between the two sides. But it had to be a tribe that had Ahas Eretz Yisrael. That was Manasseh, because they were the children of Yosef. Incidentally, the status of the Golan is different than the status of Abraham. The Golan is really an integral part of the Galil. Look at the map and you'll see it's an integral part of the Galil. So that's why the children of Yosef, half on one side, half on the other side, but they wanted genuine, full Eretz Yisrael, which was there. So what have we accomplished? We've accomplished the following this year. Good that I started this summation. I didn't answer the most important question. Why is it out of order? Why historically does the Sefer begin with the Chet HaMeraglim? It should have begun with the Chet HaEgel. The answer is simple. Number one, because Kleinsler at this moment are standing just about precisely in the same kind of circumstances, the same kind of conditions as 38 years earlier. They're ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. They're ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. This is the moment that brings to mind the tragedy that happened 38 years earlier. God forbid it should happen again. And not only that, you know the Meshach Chochma's letter that I quoted on a number of occasions, where the Meshach Chochma says there were two sins that the Jewish people committed in the desert. The sin of Egel and the sin of the Meraglim. God forgave them the sin of the Egel. He did not forgive them the sin of the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu has to make sure that which was not forgiven will not happen again. That's the top of his agenda. It's the top of the agenda of Moshe Rabbeinu, who knows that he cannot go into Eretz Yisrael, but he's going to make sure that his people are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. He can wait to talk to them about the AL, all that can wait. The top thing on the agenda is that sin for which they were never forgiven. Therefore, he begins Sefer Devarim with that AL. The Talmud Raglan. Everybody should have.